As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sherry Utash, President, National Center for Aviation Training and WSU Tech. Welcome to Issues 2023. Did I get the title about right there? Pretty close, Sherry.
So it's president of WSU Tech and vice president for workforce development at Wichita State University.
Okay, so I got it completely wrong then. All right.
Yeah.
Well, permit me an opinion, if you will, as this new year dawns. You have a plate that is full. In fact, you don't know how many titles you have. How do you find the time to do all this, Sherry?
Well, I'm super fortunate that we have a mission that is so needed by this community, and we have a great team that's working towards that every day and very dedicated to building a talent for our community in every single industry. So the work is rather intense, but it's certainly very gratifying, and just a lot of good people working towards a common goal.
But just for a quick review, what exactly is the Center for Aviation Training then?
So the National Center for Aviation Training is one of our 5 campuses, and that particular campus focuses on all things aviation and manufacturing related. At that campus, we have education for the entire ecosystem of aviation. So everything from engineering design to all phases of manufacturing to inspection to non-destructive testing, preventive maintenance, avionics, electronics, airframe and power plant mechanics, and now our new professional pilot program. So the whole ecosystem of aviation manufacturing, that's what we educate and teach at the National Center for Aviation Training.
Where is that located physically then?
It's on North Webb. It is at 4004 North Webb Road. So it is just north of 96 and Webb Road.
Close to Jabara or not? It's north of there.
It's on Jabara Airport.
Oh, it is. Okay. There you go. Simplifies it for me.
We have access to Jabara Airport. So kind of a cool thing. We have companies that fly in to Jabara and come over and park on the apron of the National Center for Aviation Training to interview students.
Okay, a little more review now. What is WSU Tech, for those who don't know?
So WSU Tech, we are an affiliate of Wichita State University, and we are a 2-year technical college. And so we deliver short-term and long-term technical education for careers in every single industry you can think of. And we also deliver the first 45 hours of a baccalaureate degree in partnership with Wichita State at our WSU South campus.
How long?
We call it the Shocker Pathway.
The Shocker Pathway. How long have you been involved with the tech school?
So I am in my 16th year.
Wow. And what did you do before that? Were you just a child or what?
No. I actually started my career in higher ed about 27 years ago. I worked at Wichita State for a couple of years. Then I worked at Cali Community College for several years and then moved to what was then Wichita Area Technical College 16 years ago as the Vice President of Academics and Student Services. And then 3.5 years ago, we affiliated with Wichita State and changed our name to WSU Tech.
So are we actually talking about two schools here, or is the Center for Aviation Training, is that a school too? Or is it just one school we're talking about?
It's one school,
okay.
And the National Center for Aviation Training is one of our campuses.
Okay.
You know, we have the WSU South Campus that we do all of our IT programming at. We do our Shocker Pathway program. We have what we call Health and Human Services type programs, so EMT, Vet Tech, Police Science, and we're soon moving all of our healthcare programs from a campus in Old Town to South, and that will put all of our healthcare programs. So, for instance, our RN program, our LPN program, Search Tech, short-term health, all of those will also be at our South Campus starting this summer. And then we have a campus behind East High School that's the name of it is City Center. And at that campus, we have all of our applied technologies. So there we have our automotive tech program. We have our alternative fuels program, construction science, welding. So those programs are there. And then we have our brand new campus that's just opening in downtown Wichita. And it's called NICH, the National Institute for Culinary and Hospitality Education. And it will house our new culinary and hospitality program.
Wow.
In addition to an event center on the rooftop and a food hall for the community on the first floor.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about the faculty and the administration going on at your school.
Well, we had about 40 full-time employees 16 years ago today. We have over 250 full-time employees, and with part-time adjunct, about 300. And with part-time and adjunct, we're a little over 750 employees. So we've grown a lot. Our student population, we're touching about 9,000 students a year. We have about 16 people that go to industry every day and train in industry. So they are out at Spirit, at Textron, at Bombardier, out in aviation industries, certifying the employees of those companies with FAA recertification work on a daily basis. We have all kinds of short-term programs, so, you know, anything from 6 weeks to 12 weeks to 16 weeks to 9 months to a year or to 2 years. So just depending on what a person is looking for to build their career, to upskill and reskill their career, or to change careers.
You're actually telling me at least 9,000 students involved in this? Yes, right?
So, yes.
It's bigger than I thought. I mean, I had no idea you were having so many people being educated under your umbrella there. Are you getting state support, sufficient state support to do something like this?
So we a lot of our budget comes from the state between our post-secondary through the state and also some special programs like our Excel in Career Tech Ed program for high school students and also the Kansas Promise that was recently developed by the legislature. So, yes, the state is very good to us. The state helps us be able to grow and to maintain an affordable level of tuition. And we work really hard to make sure that we're accessible, we're affordable, and we provide equitable education to everybody across the South Central Kansas.
What about federal support? Do you get any Fed support? Do you have grants, things like that?
We do. We just received just shy of $1 million federal grant to build some opportunities to improve student success and retention through a post-secondary basic We receive federal financial aid for our students. So many of our students receive Pell Grants. Some of them receive federal loans. So in addition to that, we have a lot of we put a lot of money towards institutional scholarships. And then certainly the WSU Tech Foundation has a scholarship money that we give out annually to students. So lots of ways to support a student financially so that, you know, they can, you know, they can meet their hopes and dreams of what they have. You know, we say all the time that, you know, there's a hope and a dream and a face, and that's the face of our students. They have a hope and a dream when they come to us, and our job is to do the very best we can to help them realize that hope and that dream and build that career for them and their families.
You're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Sherry Utesh from WSU Tech. I'm going to shorten your title there.
That's fine.
Oh, tell me about the you mentioned this a few minutes ago, a couple of minutes ago. That's you call it NISH or NEECH, the National Institute for
NICH.
Culinary NICH. Okay, National Culinary.
Yeah, we're going to be Midwest nice, and we're going to call it NICH.
If you're French, you would say niche, right? But you're not.
Yeah, the French would say that. We're going to say niche. We're going to be Midwest humble.
This is something that I think is really interesting. Tell us about this, how this all came about, and what you're doing there with niche.
So we have remodeled the old Henry's building. And that building, for many of your listeners, they're going to remember that building, was an iconic department store in downtown Wichita. It's been vacated since 1984. Henry's actually left the building downtown at that in 1984 and went to Town East. So it's been a vacant building since then. It is a historic preservation building because of the area that it's in. So we have been working with a developer to renovate that building. And we are opening it next week for students in our culinary and hospitality program. But the building itself is 65,000 square feet. So one floor of that building will have five kitchens and classrooms for our culinary arts students. And then in addition to that, when you walk into the first floor of the building later this spring and early summer, there will be a food hall, and it'll be the first food hall in the city of Wichita. There will be the opportunity for people to choose from four to five different restaurants in the food hall. And one of those restaurants is the Envision Kitchen and Beast. And that particular restaurant will be run by our students. Oh. And so there'll be several choices of food to come in and have breakfast or have lunch. And that will all open later this spring and early summer. On the mezzanine level of what was Henry's is the Cargill Demonstration Theater, and that particular area will be used to bring in visiting chefs. It will be used for community events. We ultimately will be doing classes for, you know, the public to come in with some of our chefs and other chefs throughout the city to learn different types of cooking for community. And then finally on the rooftop, there is an event center, and that will open late this spring as well. And it has an indoor and an outdoor area for events. So it's got a beautiful view of downtown Wichita. It will hold roughly about 200 people on the inside and another 100 or so on the outside on a good day. So all of these things are coming to downtown Wichita.
Kansas restaurant owners supporting this new school?
We have so many people that are supporting both a lot of corporate and a lot of our restaurants, and certainly people, you know, we have a lot of different support across the city for this. So, and we know that support will only grow as we get in there, and this whole idea that we have developed, the vision that we have for it, that it, you know, actually becomes a reality and people are in there eating and having lunch and also using the event center. I mean, we want this to be a food destination opportunity for people that not only live in Wichita, but people that come to visit Wichita. once we get the food hall completely up and running and fully implemented.
Can you give us an eye, look at maybe a couple of the courses offered? I go back to high school, and I took boys' foods in high school. Okay, we did scratch. Uh-huh. We did scratch cookies. I don't know if you're probably going to be a little more sophisticated than that. But what are these people learning out there, or going to learn?
Well, and you did scratch cookies. I did grape ice cream floats is one of the things I remember doing. Ooh. So I think we're gonna be a little more sophisticated than that. Our program has different levels on it. So you can come in and learn to be a sous chef. You can come in and learn to be, a chef de jour. I mean, there's going to be different levels of learning that you're going to be able to experience. We have additional hours in our kitchens and our labs that most programs do not. It will have an international flair to it in addition to culinary classes that, can operate in kind of any environment that we have in Wichita or within the state of Kansas. We also have a real focus on sustainability, so that we'll be teaching a lot of that. And we'll be focusing on some of the new innovations in culinary, some of the new grains that are coming into play, some of the new types of food. So I think it's going to be really exciting. And the students that are in the program are going to just get a very broad opportunity to learn, but they're also going to have applied anything that they do, which means that they will be, having the opportunity to take what they learn in the classroom and put it into real-world skills, either in the incubator kitchen that we have, in the food hall, in the student restaurant, or out in the community, in the hospitality and culinary businesses that we're partnering with.
You know, we hear about the challenge of finding, training, and retaining workers in all fields. What are you seeing in this area?
Well, that's a very true thing, and there's not an industry in Wichita that is not needing workforce, that's not needing talent. And that's why building this talent pipeline in all of these different industry areas, whether it's culinary, aviation, manufacturing, healthcare, IT, police science, all these areas are so incredibly important because they all have needs. So, we have ways that we've been recruiting to create that talent pipeline that we've been doing for several years. We're going to continue to do those things, but we're looking at also different ways of recruiting, and we're looking at how do we recruit more underrepresented populations within our city? How do we recruit more of those that maybe have some levels of disability, but we can can educate and train them to go to the workforce? What do we do as far as finding the 1,500 or so high school graduates from South Central Kansas that graduate every May and choose to not necessarily go into some type of education and training in post-secondary? So there's just a lot of things that we're looking at doing differently than what we have traditionally done. And then the one thing, that we have done for the last 6 years, and it continues to be very successful, is the Wichita Promise Scholarship Program. And that program we've done for 6 years. We have educated and put into the workforce, particularly in the aviation workforce, over the last 6 years, over 1,500 people that have gone through that program. And that program is a scholarship program that pays for any student, it pays their way for short-term training, normally in aviation, sometimes in healthcare, it just depends what we're looking for, into a high-wage, high-tech, high-demand job. And includes guaranteed interviews, short-term training, and credentials that make them work ready. So that's been a very, very popular program for us over the last 6 years, continues to be.
Sherry, what are future-ready centers with the WSU, with USD 259? Future-ready centers.
So The Future Ready Centers are an incredibly great partnership that we've created with USD 259. And we also had some financial support from the city through some ARPA dollars that have really helped us move these forward. So what they are is they're the old Dillon store that was right next to North High School on 13th and Waco. I believe it's 13th.
It is.
In Waco. That has been transformed with our partners at 259 into a future-ready center for aviation. And we have all kinds of aviation programs going on in there where USD 259 students, when they're juniors and seniors, are being bused to that facility. And they can start earning and learning towards Associate of Applied Science degree with us at that facility. And because of the legislature's Excel in CTE program that they did 10 years ago, the tuition and the cost of that program is paid for by the state. Mm. So that program is all aviation, anything related to aviation to get students a start as a junior and senior. Many of them will be able to walk across their high school graduation and get their high school diploma, plus have a certificate or a degree from us if they start as a junior. The second one is one of our WSU South location. It's our Future Ready Center for Healthcare with 259. That is being now. It will start in August, and it will move all of our, it will provide opportunities for healthcare exploration and the beginning of a career in healthcare for our juniors and seniors in high school. So we do a lot of that out in the different high schools right now. The beauty of this is it brings all of those students together in one location. So we're super excited about the partnership that we have with them, with 259. They've been great partners with that. The students and the parents of Wichita that are in the school districts are, this is a huge opportunity and a big, big, big win. And it's a great way to reduce student loan debt for the young people in our community.
How has the COVID pandemic impacted your operation, Sherry?
Well, the COVID pandemic taught us a lot of lessons. And in some ways, really, I think, changed and improved a lot of the things that we do. But to be very honest, you know, most of our education is hands-on learning. Mm-hmm. And so hands-on learning, you have to be in the labs and in the classrooms. So we actually were only shut down for COVID for about a period of 90 to 120 days, and then we brought students back in. So, and we've been back to a regular schedule for the last couple of years. But I do think from a standpoint of academic education, it gave us the opportunity to pivot very quickly to offer more hybrid and online offerings, which we are continuing to build upon. So I think there was a lot of things good about it. You know, we learned that, you know, our student services group can do so much of their work through Zoom and virtual. We continue to offer that to potential students and to those in the community that are interested in visiting with us about what their hope and dream is, what their career might look like, what program they may be interested. It gave us an opportunity to really blend what we do in person and then additionally be able to provide services and coursework in a different way.
What's the biggest challenge you face, Sherry?
The biggest challenge that we face is creating that talent pipeline and finding enough people to fill that pipeline. So part of, you know, the other thing that we as a community and we as WSU Tech have to do is figure out how do we not only find new and creative ways and innovative ways of bringing people into post-secondary, but how do we also physically move people into our city and into our community of South Central Kansas in order to provide them that? It's going to take all of us doing that. A great example of that creativity and the innovation of that is our program with NIAR Works. which is the MRO that NIAR at WSU, the National Institute for Aviation Research, put together a maintenance repair operation on South Oliver, right across from Spirit, where they're bringing in 777s and Airbus A38, big planes, and they're converting them from passenger to freight. And we have students that are actually out there that are working and going to school at the same time. So it's a way of, you know, we've been able to move some people to Wichita to take advantage of this opportunity.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us. Sherry Utash from WSU Tech. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.